أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته All praise belongs to Allah, the creator, the fashioner, the sustainer of the entire universe. And we ask Allah to send our greetings and our salutations upon all of his emissaries, beginning with the Prophet Adam and culminating with the final and the best of all of his prophets, Prophet Muhammad. May God's blessings be upon him and his family. And we also ask Allah to send our greetings upon the Ahlul Bayt, upon the family of the Prophet, those who are the protectors of this divinely sent message. And especially as we go through this series, the vanguard of justice, Imam Al-Hujjah, and justice in the supplications and the visitations, we ask our Creator to send our greetings upon the 12th and awaited Savior of humanity, Imam Al-Mahdi. As we continue in our discussion, in this three-part series called The Vanguard of Justice, Imam Al-Hujjah, that is Imam Al-Mahdi, and Justice as embodied in the supplications and visitations, we now go on to our second point of our discussion. In our introductory series or introductory program, we looked at the overall definition of justice and what it is and how the Quran has spoken about this very important topic. Today we continue in our second part where we look at the 12th Imam, that is Imam Al-Mahdi, and his role in the implementer and the spreader of justice and equality upon this earth as it is viewed in the supplications, in the du'as that we recite to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And obviously as we know that all of the supplications that we have within the corpus of our traditions are all geared to Allah. All of our supplications, we speak to Allah, we communicate with Allah. We take what we've learned from the Quran, from the Prophet of Islam and the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon all of them. And we basically use those words to communicate to Allah, asking Him for the goodness of this world. Obviously, because we live in this world. And we ask Him for the goodness of the world to come, because that is our eventual permanent abode. And so as we begin this session 2 of 3, we remind ourselves of this very beautiful verse of the Quran, which actually forms the basis of these sessions. And this comes to us from chapter number 5, Surah Al-Ma'idah, verse number 8, in which, as you see, Allah says, أَوْذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُونُوا قَوَّامِينَ لِلَّهِ شُهَدَاءَ بِالْقِسْطِ وَلَا يَجْرِمَنَّكُمْ شَنَآنُ قَوْمٍ عَلَى أَلَّا تَعْدِلُوا اِعْدِلُوا هُوَ أَقْرَبُ لِلتَّقْوَى وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ خَبِيرٌ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ Allah very poignantly and beautifully says, O you who believe, addressing them, those who are Muslims, who have accepted the message of the Prophet Muhammad, may God bless him and his beloved family. God says, Be upholders and standard bearers of right for God's sake, bearing witness for the establishment of absolute justice. And by no means let your detestation for a people or their detestation for you move you to commit the sin of deviating from justice. Be just. This is nearer and more suited to righteousness and piety. Seek righteousness and piety and always act in reverence for God. Surely God is fully aware of all that you do. So our goal in life is really to be the bearers, the standard bearers, the upholders of justice against friend and foe, against our adversaries and those who we are in harmony and unity with. Justice is the basis and the criterion that we should be trying to mold our lives around, regardless of who we encounter. Now, as you'll recall, in our previous session, in session number 1 of 3, we looked at the function of the supplication and the visitation in changing human destiny. We had a very detailed discussion on that topic. What is the role of the supplication, of the visitation? What is justice even, we looked at? In this section, in our session number 2, we want to review the supplications, which speak about the role of Imam Al-Mahdi and justice. And in our third installment, in our concluding discussion, we will look at the visitations, the ziyarat, which expose us to the divine just social order that the 12th Imam, Imam Al-Mahdi, will bring with him. And so today in session 2, we want to delve into the corpus of supplications. The supplications which speak about the role of Imam al-Hujjah in establishing justice and equality upon an earth which would have been filled with injustice, inequality, and oppression. And we'll touch upon some of the passages found in supplications such as Dua al-Iftitah, which is recited commonly in the month of Ramadan, Dua al-Nudba, which is commonly recited on Friday mornings, and one other short supplication which is geared to the 12th Imam. That is Imam al-Mahdi, may Allah hasten his noble return. Now, before we go into that, to encourage the readers to really learn more about the role of supplication of the dua in our lives, I want to present and recommend two unique books, both available in English online for free reading. The first one is called Uddatu Da'i, the translation, which is The Asset of the Supplicant. It's really a manual on how to pray to God, what to pray to God for, how to begin prayers, how to thank God, how to engage in that sacred communion with the Beloved. Obviously, you and I can speak to God in any way, in any language, any form. But as with many acts in Islam and in general in our life, there are certain courtesies, certain adab, as they call it, that you and I need to follow. Not because God, you know, will not accept our supplications if we don't follow a certain regiment, but these add more beauty to the supplication. It's just like, for example, you know, if you want to give a friend a gift, you can just give it the gift to them like it is when you buy it from the store. Or you can take it home, wrap it up in beautiful wrapping paper, maybe put a ribbon on it and a bow, maybe a card. And then you give them that gift. It's the same gift at the end of the day, but the way you present it adds a lot of beauty and shows your concern and your care and your love for that individual. And so the supplications are no different. So the first book is Uddatu Da'i, again, a very well-known book of a manual on how to supplicate to God. The second book is called In the Presence of the Beloved by His Eminence, the late Ayatollah Muhammad Taqi Misbah Yazdi, who recently passed away just actually 2 days ago. And this very beautiful book, again available online, again goes into the beauty of supplication being, as he calls it, in the presence of the Beloved, in the presence of God. How do you and I act in the presence of our Creator and engage in communion with our Master? Now, when our scholars speak about the dua, the supplication, they have a very unique term. They say that ad-du'a al-Qur'an al-Sa'id, that the dua, the supplication, is the ascending Qur'an. As we know, when Allah sent the Qur'an to the heart of the Prophet Muhammad, may God bless him and his beloved family, this was the revealed Qur'an, the Qur'an al-Nazil. It was revealed from God, from Allah, through the angel Jibra'il, to the heart of the beloved Prophet Muhammad, may God bless him and his family. And we as the believers today, 14 centuries after the revelation of the Quran, we read, we memorize, we understand, we implement the Quran in our lives. And then when we turn around to want to communicate to Allah, we do so many times using the verses of the Quran, or in the minimal, in the methodology of the previous prophets and how they prayed to God. And there are many examples within the Quran which speak of many different prophets, such as Ayyub, Prophet Job, such as Prophet Ibrahim, Prophet Abraham, peace be upon both of them, and how they entered into communion and spoke to Allah. And so when we read these verses, and obviously we take from the guidance of the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them, as they were taught by the Prophet, and then they have in turn taught the companions, and they have in turn taught those who we recognize as scholars today, we learn from them the ways of communication. And so when they say that the dua is the ascending Quran, we are taking our methodology of speaking to Allah, whether it be to take an intermediary, a wasila, using somebody as a in between us and Allah, as the Quran advises or explains to us in many different verses of the beautiful book. And we use all of these principles that, again, our scholars have put together through their meticulous research of the Quran and the Ahadith on this topic. And they present us with the keys to engaging in supplication with Allah. So this is the core of the dua, the ascending Quran. The Quran shows us, just to go to our overall theme for this three-part session, that justice and equity are the hallmarks of this religion. And actually, not only the religion of Islam, but if you go back through the teachings of all of the prophets which God has sent for humanity, all of them taught this one universal principle of justice, that is why they came. And that is why in chapter 57, Surah Al-Hadid, in verse number 25, God says, لَقَدْ أَرْسَلْنَا رُسُلُنَا بِالْبَيِّنَاتِ وَأَنزَلْنَا مَعَهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْمِيزَانِ لِيَكُومَ النَّاسُ بِالْقِسْطِ. Assuredly, God says, we have sent our messengers with manifest truths and clear proofs of their being messengers, and we have sent down with them the book and the balance. And why? So that humankind may live their lives by the rule of equity. So all of this that God has given to us, of the Quran, of the prophets, of the imams, of the teachings, all of this is geared so that you and I learn to implement justice and equity in society. And so one of the ways that we can learn this is through the review and analysis and understanding of the supplications, the du'as that we get from the Prophet and his noble family, the Ahlul Bayt. May God bless all of them. But one of the things that we have to appreciate, and it is this, that we have to look at the du'a, the supplication, not as merely a vehicle to get from God, but rather that there are multiple aspects. Now, we don't doubt the fact that when we make du'a to Allah, when we supplicate to God, we are asking for ghaibi support, that is support from the realm of the hidden. And we know that in the Quran, there are many times where the Prophet of Islam, Prophet Muhammad, may God bless him and his family, and other prophets prayed to God, and God gave them from the unseen realm support, such as in the Battle of Badr, and many other examples. But we have to also recognize the fact that the dua is also a personal stimulus. By this, I mean that simply praying to God will not necessarily change the outcome of our lives. People, for example, pray to God for sustenance, for money, for a job, for a good income. But if they were just to sit at home and make supplication all day and not go out and get a job or pound the pavement to look for a job, do you think that God would just mysteriously deposit money in their bank account? Obviously, the answer is no. Because the supplication is, yes, it's at one level asking God for support. But at the same time, as I say, that the supplication is a personal stimulus. When we read certain supplications and we're asking God for certain things, we also need to realize that we are putting within our own mind things that we need to do in our lives to get to that goal. And so, yes, we always rely upon God, no doubt. As Muslims, we have the full reliance, confidence, and trust in God. But we need to do our part of the deal. Because as the hadith tell us, that Allah does not like or want to interfere in the mechanics of the world. He sets laws in motion, and we can use the supplications to aid in that law of the spiritual realm. And we use that to ask Allah to tap into that hidden power. But at the same time, we need to recognize the fact that we have a responsibility to do what it is that we need to do to get to that goal, what we are making the supplication for. Again, what I call the personal stimulus. That this is a very important role in the supplications. And so one of the things that we do see in the many supplications, and again, the three that we'll be looking at in this session today, about Imam al-Mahdi, is his role in justice and equality on this earth. And you will notice this as a common thread in many of the supplications. That yes, we may be asking for many other benefits from the return of Imam al-Mahdi, but one of the key roles that he will play, and that is what we are asking God for in the supplication, is for the 12th Imam to return, to be the one to help establish justice and equality upon this earth. And obviously, by us making these supplications, that means we have to recognize the fact that we have a role to play as well in that. Today, here and now. And if God gives us a life to be able to see the time of the dawn of Imam al-Mahdi, and we're blessed to be in his ranks, then obviously we will be actively assisting him in this divinely appointed mission which he has been given. And so let me begin with the first of three supplications I want to reflect upon. Again, we're just going to look at like one line from each of these three supplications, although there are tens of other supplications which speak about this in multiple lines. But we will just reflect on three for today. The first supplication does not necessarily have a name associated to it, like Dua al-Iftita has that name. Dua of Kumail is known as the Dua of Kumail, and so on and so forth. But I will refer to this dua as the supplication of Al-Kamil At-Tam, because of the fact that these are the first words mentioned in this beautiful supplication. So in this dua to Allah, again, in which the focus is the 12th Imam, Imam Al-Mahdi, we say, Salamullahil Kamil At-Tam, Ash-Shamilul Am. It begins with these words, where we offer a complete, thorough, all-inclusive, all-encompassing greeting of Allah upon the Savior of humanity, upon Imam Al-Mahdi. And again, keeping in mind that all of our du'as are addressed to God. We don't pray to the Imams. We don't pray to the Prophet. We pray to Allah, and we use these individuals in the course of the supplications to either A, for example, take our appeals to God, or B, to remember them and their mission, to give us the further courage and strength and knowledge of what our responsibilities are. Anyways, after we begin the supplication, we then address the 12th Imam and we say that he is wa mutahhir al-ardh. He is the cleanser of the earth. Wa nashir al-adl fi tuli wal ardh. And he is the spreader of justice throughout the entire world. So there's two concepts here. One is the cleanser of the earth, meaning that this earth will be so polluted, not necessarily physically polluted, but maybe that could be also an allusion to the fact that, you know, we have polluted this earth of all the chemicals in the air, the burning of fossil fuels, the depletion of the ozone layer, the pollution of the oceans, plastic that is being thrown and found in the oceans, and landfill sites that are, you know, overburdened. But it could also mean in the spiritual sense. But from there, the second point which I want to reflect upon is where we call him the one who will be the spreader of justice across the entire earth. Now we keep in mind that this revolution of our 12th Imam, Imam Al-Mahdi, is a revolution that will encompass the entire globe. It's not limited to what is today called Saudi Arabia, the Hijaz. It will spread obviously from that region. It will encompass the entire Middle East. But not only that, it'll go to the Far East. It'll go to Europe, to North America, to South America, to Asia, to Australia. It will be a revolution around the world. And you know, some people say, well, how is that possible? How can one man launch a revolution or a movement in one country and that could spread globally? And I think the effects in 2020, whether it be the coronavirus, this novel pandemic that has spread throughout the world by one person, however it spread from whatever country it started, one person began that with that virus and it has now spread around the globe at lightning speed. We saw also what happened in America in 2020 with the murder of George Floyd. And his murder sparked an international movement. Now, unfortunately, it subsided. It died down. The news media left it aside for other things happening in the world. But the fact that a man can be killed, an innocent man can be killed in such an inhumane, brutal way, being choked to death under the knee of a police officer, and that can spread around the world, and the video went viral instantaneously, can show you and I that the revolution of the 12th Imam can very easily spread around the globe. If not through miraculous means by God, through our smartphones, because somebody will be there in Mecca when the 12th Imam begins his announcement, and they will record him and they will tweet it out and put it on Facebook and on Snapchat and on Instagram and on YouTube, and that will begin a global movement. So when we say that he is the spreader, Nashir al-Adl, the spreader of justice, what we have to appreciate is that the state of justice will prevail in the world upon the culmination of the efforts of the Imam. May Allah hasten his return. And everyone will enjoy equality in rights and duties. However, today, you and I, in this era, we must embrace justice. When we remember the Imam, and when we read this supplication and we remember him as a spreader of justice, Nashir al-Adl, we must draw inspiration from the characteristics and understand that our path must be the same. We must not look at the oppression around us, whether in our own families, in our own home, in our community or the society that we live in, wherever we live in the world today. Rather, we must stand against oppression and do our best to speak out in favor of justice. And again, these events happening around the world where people were taking to the streets, people were taking to social media, people were actively pushing for social justice in the world. Obviously, we don't always align ourselves with causes that may be promoting justice for certain groups that we do not see eye to eye with. But for the rights of a human being, we have to stand for justice. And when we see that the 12th Imam is called Nashir al-Adl, the one who will spread justice, this does not mean that you and I just sit on our laurels and wait. No, we need to begin the movement as well. We have to be a part of the mission. Right? If you don't stand for this, then you'll sit for anything. And so we have to be active. And I don't say we become active just as keyboard warriors or going to one or two protest rallies with a banner and feel that we've done our duty. No, this is much more deeper than that. Again, it begins in the family. It begins in the community, and then we take it to society. But we need to be actively promoting, as we read in the du'as when we pray to God for this spreader of justice to come. We need to be at the forefront of that movement even before he makes his return. The second supplication and one line I want to reflect upon is from supplication of Al-Iftitah. And we know this as a supplication which has been taught to us by the 12th Imam. And it is one which we have been encouraged to recite in the month of Ramadan every night. And as community members, we try our best to make it a point to add this into our nightly regimen in that blessed month of Ramadan. And in the supplication, we make a dua to Allah. Again, as I said, all of our supplications are geared to speaking to Allah. And we say, Allahumma wa salli ala waliyal amrika al-qa'im al-mu'ammal. O Allah, and send your blessings on the guardian of your commandments, the one who will rise up, wal adl al muntazar, and the one hoped for and the awaited justice, wa huffahu bi malaikatika al muqarrabin, wa yadhu bi ruh al qudus ya rabb al alamin, and surround him with your favorite angels and assist him with the Holy Spirit, O the Lord of the worlds. We call the 12th Imam Wal-Adlul Muntazar. He is the awaited justice. And it's a beautiful way that the 12th Imam is speaking about himself in this supplication. Not only is he the one that will rise, he is the one that is Al-Mu'ammal, the one who is hoped for. We have that longing, that desire for him. Hopefully we do. Again, that is the practicality of supplication. But then we call him Wal-Adlul Muntazar, the awaited justice. Because no matter how much governments of the world today claim to be fair and just, and they say we have a court of law and justice will be served, and a person is, for example, murdered or something happens, and they say they have been given, you know, the family of the victim will receive justice. We know for a fact that justice in this world does not come, not from the court system, not from any system. The only true justice is obviously Allah, is God's, but those whom he gives the authority to implement justice at a global level through his command. And their implementation of justice is much, much more precise than the temporal rulers of this world or the court systems of this world that we live in. And so when we read this portion of the supplication where we call the 12th Imam wal-adlul muntazar, we say that you are the awaited justice. We need to recognize the fact that the use of this word al-adlu, justice, is different than the Imam saying that he is al-adil, the one who is just. Here we're saying by the Imam using the word al-adlul muntazar, that this is a sign of the strength, this is a sign of the intensity, and this is a sign of the purity of the justice of Imam al-Mahdi. May God hasten his return. And so when here we refer to the 12th Imam and call him the awaited justice, we don't say he's the one who is awaited, who will implement justice, or the one who is just. We are saying that he is the one who will implement true justice by the permission of Allah. He is the embodiment of justice. His life is one based on justice, just as his forefathers, just as the Prophet of Islam. He is not one who is just, he is the epitome of justice. He is the embodiment, the personification of justice. And that justice will be, again, it'll be a strong, intense, and pure justice that the Imam will bring. It isn't what the court system of today or the international court in The Hague can purport to give to humanity. The justice of the 12th Imam is something unique. And when we pray for that in the month of Ramadan, we have to remind ourselves that we also need to be able to give that same level of justice in our own personal lives. The third, or rather, as I just mentioned one more point here, this visage of the awaited justice, what does it mean? We have a hadith from Imam al-Husayn, may God bless him, which is narrated in the magnum opus of the late Allama Majlisi called Bihar al-Anwar, in which the Imam has been quoted as saying, and so when he, meaning Imam al-Mahdi, the one who will establish justice, when he rises up, his justice will encompass both good people and the bad people, the birr and the fajr. Meaning that his justice will not just be for the Muslims or the Shia or people of a particular country or a nationality or identity. He will be fair to everybody, because that is what justice entails. Justice and being a person of principled, balanced justice does not mean you are just fair to your friends or your co-religionists. No, that justice is not justice actually. Justice and adala is where you are fair to everybody, your friend and foe, the good and the bad, the righteous and the sinner. Everybody needs to be dealt with justice. Not just those who are a part of your clique and your gang and your friend circle. So the awaited justice, in the words of Imam Hussein, peace be upon him, that the 12th Imam will bring, will be a universal justice, as we said, that will encompass the entire world, the entire system that God has put in this place. And even those who are sinners, who are unfair people, they will also be dealt with justice. The third and the final portion or supplication which we reflect upon in this very brief session and discussion is found in Dua An-Nudbah, a supplication which we are told has been taught by the sixth Imam, Imam Ja'far ibn Muhammad as-Sadiq. May God bless both of them. And is one which the believers have been encouraged to recite on the Friday mornings. And in this very beautiful supplication, we say, Aina al-Mu'ammalu li ihya'il kitabi wa hududi. Where is he, meaning Imam al-Mahdi, the one upon whom we rest our hopes, so that he will revive the book of God, the Quran, and the injunctions set forth therein? Again, that is why we say that these supplications are the ascending Quran, because we are praying to God for qualities, for situations mentioned in this book that he can not only through the hidden realm assist us with, but give us the impetus, the courage, the ability to work towards the implementation in our lives. And here in the beautiful way, the sixth Imam is asking God that where is that man who first of all, we rest our hopes upon him? Our hopes for what? Well, the one who would revive the book of God, the Quran, which as we see today in the Muslim world, even the so-called Muslim world, for the most part is a dead book. Unfortunately, we have to call a spade, and ask ourselves how many of the so-called Muslim countries in the world actually live the Quran. They may live the Quran in favoring certain family members. They may live the Quran by having Quran competitions to who can recite the best Quran. They may live the Quran or in living the book by having massive printing presses to print the Quran in Arabic and many world languages. But do they implement the book? That is the question that we have to ask and that they have to ask themselves. Are they implementers of the teachings of the Quran? Or do they just pride themselves on having a large printing press for Quran and the largest number of reciters and memorizers of the Quran? So we are asking for God that where is the one who would revive the book of Allah and the injunctions, the hudud of the Quran? And one of those injunctions of the Quran, as we know, is the implementation of justice, as we began this session with from chapter number 5. And we saw in Surah Al-Hadid, chapter 57, that the basis of the Quran is for you and I to establish justice. And we are not able to do that. We have not been able to do that since the demise of the Messenger of God, except with that short period of time that Imam Ali, peace be upon him, had the seat of caliphate given to him, which was taken away from him for 25 some odd years. Other than that, there has never been an implementation of justice, and even his justice was limited to those countries of his domain that he had access to. So where is that one that we are looking for? Obviously, he has not yet been permitted to make his return by the permission of God. And so we still await this individual to come and implement justice at a global level around this earth. And so when we talk about the reviver of the book and the decrees, the hudud of the Quran, we have to recognize that the injunctions of the Quran are numerous. However, one of the clear ones which Allah orders to is where he says that indeed Allah enjoins justice and right in all matters and devotion to doing good. Inna Allaha ya'muru bil adli wal ihsan wa ita'i dhil qurba wa yanha 'anil fahsha'i wal munkar wal baghi ya'idhukum la'allakum tadhakkarun. He exhorts you and I repeatedly so that you and I may reflect and be mindful. Thus, the return of the Imam, it signals a return of the implementation of the teachings of the Quran, which is again what we want. We're seeking the return of the Imam so that these beautiful rules of the Quran about justice, about goodness, about humanity, about humility, can be implemented at the global level. Not just in a country or a city or a home or a town or a village, but across the globe. Because as we have seen, global politics, something happens in one country and it affects the entire world. Unfortunately, certain countries in this world hold so much sway that they can sanction another country directly, and indirectly every other country in the world needs to follow that one order. That's not fair. That's not just. And that will be destroyed. And those countries will be taken to task. And their leaders will be taken to task. And their people will have to be accountable for why they supported such corrupt governments in their midst when they perhaps had the ability to remove such corrupt individuals and try and bring about a system of reformation. And so as we conclude the second session of the supplications and the visage of justice as embodied in the supplications, we have to recognize the fact that we have to play a direct role in this movement. To conclude the second session of three, as we said that the Quran is the descended word of God to humanity, it contains that which Allah wants us to know and to strive for to implement at the personal and societal level. However, the supplication, the dua, is the ascended word of humanity to God, to Allah. And these are the desires what we have learnt from the Quran and the life of Prophet Muhammad, may God bless him and his family, and the Ahlul Bayt, may God bless all of them. And what we are now striving to implement at the personal and societal level with the assistance of God. We also have to recognize that in the supplications, there is a theme of reviving the book and its limits, its ordinances, and reviving of the book and the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad, may God bless him and his family. And these are used to denote the establishment of a just society, as these are obviously the foundational goals of the Quran and the message of Prophet Muhammad, may God bless him and his noble family. And in number three, and we conclude, is that the passages which are found in the various supplications, they all point us to the realization that not only is Imam al-Mahdi, may Allah hasten his return, going to establish justice on earth, but that we today, you and I, need to be treading down that path in our personal and societal lives to start this task. Yes, the 12th Imam will eradicate injustice. If we, however, are not just in our lives, we will be the first people to pay the price. Let me say that again. The 12th Imam, we believe, is the one who will implement and spread justice around this earth. And if today, we are not implementing and spreading justice on this earth, when he returns, we will be the first to pay the price of being unjust, unfair. And as we conclude, we will, God willing, in our third and final session, analyze the visitations, the ziyarat, which expose us to the divine, just social order. This revolution of the 12th Imam, which we speak about when we go to the shrine of the Prophet, or his family buried in Jannatul Baqi, or we go to the shrines of the Imams buried in Baghdad, or Najaf, or Karbala, or Mashhad, or we go to the shrine of Lady Zainab, peace be upon her, in Syria, or any of the other personalities of the family of the Prophet, wherever they may be buried, and we stand in front of their grave and we address Allah, and we recall the bravery, the valor, the morality, the tradition of these people, that we ask God to bring the Savior of humanity to us to create and to revamp the society, to have that divine, just social order. God willing, we will continue and conclude this in our third and final session. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.